Welcome to True Crime 101 with Murder Friends, the podcast where three friends from three different countries talk about murder. My name's Hannah and I'm British.
I'm Anna and I'm American.
My name's Alana and I'm Canadian.
In addition to our longer episodes, True Crime 101 talks you through key true crime cases and theories. So, how did you both sleep last night?
Average.
We're not going to sleep well tonight.
No, maybe. Good. You slept well. No hiccups, okay. No problems. All good. Yeah. Did you kill anyone in your sleep last night?
No.
I
hope not.
No, you sure? This week I'm going to tell you about homicidal sleepwalking.
Oh my god.
That sounded really creepy at the beginning, didn't it?
It did. Oh my god, yes.
This True Crime 101 has a lot of sources and they'll be on the website. So first thing we'll talk about what homicidal sleepwalking is, a little bit about how sleepwalking happens, and then a couple of cases which will have different outcomes. So it's a whole picture.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's a topic. It's an interesting topic. One that's very close to my heart, for reasons I will explain.
Okay.
So, I haven't killed anyone in my sleep. That's just the preface.
This is the big reveal.
We've
known you for like 4 years, and then you suddenly tell
this
us.
This is the true person story of what happened when I was seven. No. So, homicidal sleepwalking is the act of killing while in a sleepwalking episode. It's also referred to as sleepwalking murder or homicidal somnambulism. When we sleep, we go through cycles or stages of sleep. Stage one is when you're dozing off, your body hasn't fully relaxed yet into like a sleep state. And this is where you get those like weird twitches. And do you know when you feel like you're falling? Mm. Do you like kick out? Yeah. This lasts for about 5 minutes, but it can last up to 10 minutes. And then we go into stage two, which is entering a sleep state where you get relaxed and your muscles relax and your breathing slows down, your heart rate drops. And this lasts about 10 to 25 minutes. And then stage three is sometimes called delta sleep or slow wave sleep. And it's the period where you're at your deepest sleep. After stage three, we have REM sleep, which I think a lot of people have heard of. It's rapid eye movement sleep, and this is where you dream. So when we're in REM sleep and if we dream, our body kind of paralyzes itself so we don't act out our dreams, so we don't like thrash out or kick out. So people tend to go through stage one, stage two, then three, then REM, and then back to two, then three, then REM. So you go through like a cycle. You don't like stay in one state the whole time. And they tend to last like set amount of time, depending on who you are. Your brain is surprisingly active during the sleep process. And stage three of the sleep cycle is a really, really important part. It's the period where we do all of our memory processing. And it's also the part where we do a lot of physical recuperation. It's the bit where your brain gets like all the sugars replenished and you send out all your hormones to like, say if you've hurt yourself, it's the bit where it kind of fixes your body. But stage three is also home to bedwetting, night terrors, and sleepwalking. Do either of you sleepwalk or have night terrors or anything like that?
I remember I had an episode of sleepwalking.
Yeah.
One time, just the once, and I just remember being so like confusing, like especially when you first come out, you're like, I don't understand what's going on, and maybe I'm still dreaming and maybe I'm not, but yeah, it was very strange.
I did it for like a period, like when I was younger, and used to sleepwalk quite a bit to my brother's room and lay at the bottom of his bed. Like weirdo, like no idea why. I just wake up like there, you're like, what?
Why? Yeah, my buddy is a fan of both, and that carried on in adulthood. Oh, so I have fun stories about my sleepwalking episodes, and I'll save them for the end because
why has this never come up before?
I've never told you about this. Like,
what?
Excuse me?
I've never told you about any of this before.
No, you've got steep stairs in your house. You have to like lock your bedroom door.
We'll get onto that.
Okay. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
We're spoiling it.
You're spoiling my notes. God damn it. Anyway, the exact cause of sleepwalking is unknown, but it has been known to run in families. It's classed as a parasomnia or a sleep behavior, so a sleep disorder as well. It generally happens in the first 3 hours of sleep, and episodes often last less than 10 minutes. So people aren't generally in a sleepwalking state for like hours and hours because we go through these stages, which I explained earlier. Children are more prone to it than adults. They think about 29% of children do it who are aged between 2 and 10. And then in adults, it's probably about 4%. But as you don't have a recollection of doing it, it's hard to actually quantify how often people sleepwalk. Like if you think about the times that you've heard your partner get up and go to the loo, and it's like, well, are they going to the loo or are they sleepwalking? And they're going to like mess around in your fridge. Like you don't, you know. Also, as you don't remember doing it, your family are generally the ones to tell you all about it, which is embarrassing. So there are triggers for it, like not getting enough sleep, drinking, drugs, having a fever, a brain injury, and my personal favourite, stress and anxiety. But sleepwalking severity really varies. It can be as minor as sort of sitting up in bed and looking around, or whereas some people get up, get out of the house, drive their car, get dressed, move things around like furniture, take things out of their fridge, run taps. You know, it can be anything that you would do when you're awake, but they're obviously in a sleepwalking state and, you know, potentially kill someone. So the first time sleepwalking was used as a defense in trial was about 700 years ago, but I don't know whether that was for murder. It could have just been a woman knowing how to count. She's a witch. But the first time it was tested in the US courts was in 1846 when Albert Tyrrell was tried for the murder of his mistress, Maria Ann Bickford. Maria was a sex worker, and she refused to give up her work to be in a relationship with Tyrrell. On the 27th of October 1845, she was found with her throat cut so deeply she'd nearly been beheaded. Tyrrell was 22 years old at the time, an aristocrat, and was the prime suspect for it, but he claimed he'd been sleepwalking when he committed the crime. So he didn't deny that he did it, but he just said, I was asleep. He was found not guilty by a jury in 2 hours.
What?
Just like, I don't know, 1846. Bonkers time. There is a note against this story, which I read in a journal, that said, later, Tyrrell was acquitted of arson for setting fire to the building where Bickford was killed. I don't know if that happened at the same time. It was just a side note. So do you want to hear three stories from three different countries with three different outcomes about sleepwalking homicides?
Yes.
Yes.
On brand, right? Three of us, three stories. So the first one. On the 16th of January, 1997, police were called to the home of Jan Miller and Scott Falliter in Phoenix, Arizona. They'd been married for 20 years and had 2 children. Neighbours had heard an altercation, and one had also reported to the 911 operator that they had seen Scott holding his wife's head underwater in their backyard pool. The transcript from the neighbour's 911 call reads, "The husband just threw, I believe, the wife into the pool. It looks like he's holding her underwater." It then later says in the transcript, "I don't know what the problem is. Don't know, it's weird, and I'm concerned." I mean, concerned isn't a word that I would use.
But you're not doing anything to, like, check that the woman's not being murdered.
He's like, "I'm concerned." I'm concerned.
I'm watching concerned. You drown her right now, but I'm not going to do anything.
You know, if you see someone fly tipping, concerned. Not watching your neighbor, like, hold someone's head underwater. I'm also concerned.
Are you sure it was in England? Because that's very, like, a way to go about it.
Maybe he was an expat. He was like, "I'm very concerned." Just call the old Bob. That's awful. When police arrived, they found Jan Miller dead, floating in the pool. She'd also been stabbed 44 times with a hunting knife.
Oh,
okay.
Scott was found in the home, sitting at the top of the stairs in his pyjamas. He said that he had no recollection of what had happened. He was promptly arrested, and when questioned, he said that he'd been sleepwalking. There was a month-long trial where the prosecution alleged that they didn't have a happy marriage. They fought over whether or not to have more children, and they had differences in beliefs when it came to the Mormon faith. Experts battered it out over points of law, sleep science, and forensics. Ultimately, the jury found him guilty of first-degree murder. They found that as Scott concealed the weapon that he used, removed his bloody clothing, put on a pair of gloves before dragging Jan Miller outside to the pool, so he'd already stabbed her at this point, and he then puts on a pair of gloves. He berated his dog to be quiet, and then tending to a cut he had sustained during the attack afterwards, all of this undermined his defence that he'd been sleepwalking. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and he remains incarcerated in the Yuma prison complex in Arizona. I think recently that's come up as like a 20 years since the crime, or like a period of time since he'd been to prison, and it was in sort of in the news recently. So next up, we have the murder of Barbara Ann Woods. So Barbara was 42 years old when she was murdered by her son-in-law, Kenneth Parks. The pair had a pretty close relationship, but unfortunately Kenneth had developed a gambling addiction, which found him embezzling funds from work and also taking from the family savings. He was fired from his job in March 1987, and later in May of that year, he attended a Gamblers Anonymous meeting and had diarised to tell his family, including Barbara, that weekend about everything that had been going on. However, in the early morning of the 24th of May 1987, Kenneth got in his car and drove from Pickering, Ontario to Scarborough, Ontario. Is it Scarborough? Scarborough?
Scarborough?
Scarborough, Ontario.
All the names are stolen anyway, so it doesn't matter.
like that, where his in-laws lived. He entered the house with a key he'd previously been given, and using a tire iron, bludgeoned Barbara to death. He then tried to choke his father-in-law. He left the scene bloodied and himself pretty injured from the attack. Apparently he'd like cut tendons in his hands. And he was kind of bloodied and it was horrible. But he drove to a nearby police station and he told officers there, "I think I've just killed two people."
I think I might have heard this one before.
Yeah. It's probably one of the like the most well-known ones. If you Google like sleepwalking murder, this is like the one that comes up. Park's defense was that he had been sleepwalking. There was no motive. He was consistent in interviews and he underwent 4 months of medical, psychiatric and sleep testing, which indicated that he had high amounts of wakefulness and slow wave sleep patterns. So in that period where you do your like delta sleep, this is your slow wave sleep, he had long, long periods of that. So it could equate for him, you know, getting up, getting dressed, getting in the car, driving there, doing something. It could cover that like timeline. His defense team argued that at the time of the murder, he was in a period of, quote, non-insane automatism. So i.e. he was unconscious and he had no control over his actions. He was acquitted of murder and attempted murder on that basis.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. And lastly, we have the murder of 83-year-old Edward Lowe. Edward's brutalised body was found on the driveway of his home in Walkden, Greater Manchester in England, on the 30th of October 2003. He had over 90 injuries to his body. He'd been kicked, stamped and punched. It was pretty brutal. His son, Jules Lowe, who was 31 at the time of the attack, admitted to the murder, but again claimed he was sleepwalking. Jules Lowe had been drinking heavily throughout the day before attacking his father at night. He made a really poor attempt to clean up and then went to bed. So his grandfather was found on the like the driveway of the home and he was asleep upstairs in the bedroom. So, you know, it seems like a bizarre thing to do if you were awake to like then just leave someone and go to bed. He reported that he had a history of sleepwalking. The jury decided that Jules Lowe did not act voluntarily and was therefore given the verdict of not guilty by way of insanity. The presiding judge noted that this verdict did not mean that he was, quote, insane, but rather that he had been subject to automatism during his sleepwalking. The judge then ruled that he be detained under a hospital order and he was placed in a secure hospital facility. He was released after about 10 months. So that's like three different cases, three different countries, three different outcomes. It shows you how it can be interpreted in different ways. Up until 2005, there have been 69 reports of sleepwalking being used as a defense in murder, as sleepwalking is an official diagnosis in the DSM-5 and the ICSD-3, which is the like sleep diagnostic manual. It's considered to be admissible when used as a criminal defense. Wow. But it raises some really interesting questions. Like if you're known to sleepwalk, should you take necessary precautions to ensure that you don't cause harm? Do you have a duty and obligation to protect the general public if you know that you sleepwalk?
That is so interesting.
Yeah, it's a really... And then also, if you do use it as a defence, it's like, well, where does that burden of proof lie in a criminal case? With the prosecution for proving that they were not sleepwalking, or with the defendant to prove that they were, finding proof beyond reasonable doubt, which is the standard in a lot of criminal cases, therefore turns into like this complete minefield and it's exceptionally hard to prove it. The defendant must be acquitted if there's reasonable doubt that they completed an action without intent. Say if you're being tried for murder, we did that and then drop to a manslaughter because you're still responsible for the action.
I guess it's like kind of similar to say like an insanity defense in that you have done the action, right? That's happened, but you're responsibility is diminished. But then there's a lot more testing that could be done in terms to prove insanity or not, right? Well, like how do you test somebody in terms of sleepwalking and their ability to win sleepwalking? Like in my gut, I mean, okay, I know nothing about sleepwalking in a scientific or forensic capacity, but in my gut I feel like that's bullshit. How, like, it's one thing to walk around the house and to open the fridge, but I feel like to be so aggressive and to stab someone repeatedly takes a lot of force. Yeah, driving takes concentration and to attack someone takes so much energy that I don't understand how you could do that when sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, well, to stab someone, like, 30 times. That's a lot. Like,
and also, it's like, that's that Scott Fallater one, the one where he was convicted of murder. And it's like, if you're stabbing someone that many times and then you hurt yourself, that would that not wake you up? I don't.
Yeah, the pain.
Yeah. So that's all my sleepwalking part. So do you want to hear some really fun examples of my sleepwalking?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So when I was a kid, I frequently used to take my duvet and my pillows off my bed, walk across our landing, down our stairs, through our hallway, through the kitchen, into the downstairs bathroom, and make a little bed in the bath. Make a little bed in the bath. It's fine. I once got accused of taking just a huge bite out of a block of cheese when I was a kid during sleepwalking. Didn't even like cheese when I was a kid.
I'm sorry.
Not only did we not know you're a sleepwalker, we also didn't know that you didn't like cheese as a child.
Yeah, but I got better. It's fine. My lactose intolerance didn't get better, but I got better.
But your willpower.
Yeah. I used to regularly get up and stand by my sister's bed like some creepy-ass statue. Like, creepy statue. Once during these creepy statue periods, she just, like, lost her shit with me, and she just shouted at me and told me to go back to bed. And I told her that I didn't understand her because she wasn't speaking in French. In French.
Did you speak in French at the time?
In French. Yeah. No, I was fucking 8.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's not natural. As an adult, because, you know, it didn't go away, I frequently experienced night terrors. Do you know when people joke about their sleep paralysis demon?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't find that funny, like, at all, because it's terrifying.
Oh my god.
I've woken James up on, like, multiple occasions because I'm convinced that there might be someone in the room, that the walls are shaking, that's a fairly common one, that a phone's ringing, like a home phone, which isn't even connected anymore. I can hear that often. But my there was also one, this is really horrible, and it happened before we moved, but I used to think that there was a man standing over our bed, like, leaning over the bed. And about to get, like, 10 times fucking worse about what I'm about to say. And I can still, like, picture his face now, but he had hypodermic syringes stuck in his face, like, hanging out of his face. Like,
what's going on in your head, babes?
I mean, we all know I'm not okay. But I think, like, my all-time favorite one, and the one that James will tell you in great detail as being the scariest thing that's ever happened to him, I woke James up, it was middle of the night, and I woke him up, shaking his shoulder, just shaking him, staring at him, and laughing manically. like a manic, cackling laughter. And he was so freaked out, he kind of grabbed me and he was like, it's okay, go back to sleep. And I went, okay. And I just went back, head on the pillow, straight back to sleep.
I don't even know what to say. I think I know what
he must really he for. Must really love you, because that would fuck me off immediately.
I think he's stuck with me now.
Oh, it's wow.
But, like, a lot of these happened, like, before we got married, and so he could have easily ditched me. Like, jokes on him. But, like, if next time we all meet up, if we're allowed to, then we'll have a chat about that, and he'll tell you, because he's generally the scariest thing he said this ever happened to him.
It sounds really terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, at night is always also fairly terrifying, like, no makeup, hair, like this big, and just, like, and laughing. That must have been so scary for him. I do feel, I mean, okay. I don't feel sorry, I just find it fucking hilarious. I've got, like, no sympathy.
My husband does this thing where he sounds, and I call it his velociraptor, because he is asleep, and it's always the same, and he's going like, he's going to love it when he listens to this, right? To the point where I have to wake him up, because I'm like, babe, you're here. But in his dream, he says he's, like, fighting someone really hard. I was like, you sound like a little velociraptor. That's what I call it. It's, like, ridiculous. And he gets up and eats peanut butter at night, but I think he's perfectly awake for that.
No, sleepwalking. The thing is, like, if anything weird happened, I could just blame it on my sleepwalking.
There you go. You have an all of, like, well, we know now.
Exactly.
Except maybe we shouldn't, you know,
use that
this whole episode.
Let's not joke about
bullshit.
It. I'm always, like, genuinely thankful that my sleepwalking MO is to creep people out rather than hurt anyone.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
I mean, is it though?
Yeah.
Probably James would disagree.
He would disagree.
At least you didn't kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've never got out of the house. I've never hurt myself, and I've never hurt anyone else. So it's like, to me, it's, like, a fun thing that I do, but for, like, some people, it must be a really terrifying thing.
Have you ever woken yourself up while you're doing something, or is it always you're just, like, told it after the fact?
No, I've woken myself up numerous times. So I'm just standing in the kitchen, and I'm like, ooh, This is new.
While I'm here.
Yeah. I was like, while I'm here. I did it once where I went downstairs and asleep, and I woke up in the kitchen. And when I woke up, every single cupboard door was open. So I'd obviously opened them all up. And so I just like quietly closed them all. And I went back.
Oh my God.
Well, folks, you are learning all this like just now with us.
I'm surprised.
I'm never shocked.
Yes,
I'm surprised I've never spoken about it before. It's quite
so
like
are
a,
we.
It's quite like a weird personal thing to like tell people, though.
I mean, I know. Hi,
things. I'm Hannah. I'm British, and I sleepwalk.
Yeah,
I'm so creepy. I'm sorry.
You're gonna have to. We're gonna make you put that in your intro now.
No. So that's like a little instruction to my sleepwalking. But if you're interested, there is a girl on TikTok. I think she posts on Instagram. She's got a YouTube channel as well. She's called Selena Spooky Boo. And she posts videos of her sleepwalking. She has cameras up around her house. And she is, it is hilarious, but it is very extreme. Like there's one where she goes out of her house in her pajamas and then 10 minutes later runs back, but now very much awake and also very much naked.
Oh no.
But just holding a bit of cardboard over herself. And I was thinking, like, that must be like, it's so terrifying. But if you go onto YouTube after this, type in Selena Spooky Boo, it's Selena with a C-E-L-I-N-A, and watch like the compilation on her channel, because it's so funny. She does things like, there's one where she's just like giggling to herself, but with like armfuls of like cans, and she like runs outside to the front of her house and just throws them on the lawn, and then like runs back inside. There's one where she like fights a plant. It's very funny, but it also terrifies me as a sleepwalker.
Yeah.
I could like also do these things. She like gets out of her house and like it's really spooky. But yeah, that's a little sleepwalking homicide and fun sleepwalking stories to try and lighten the mood, even though I probably just terrified my friends.
That was a great story.
That was great.
Thank you.
Yes. And way to make it personal.
Thank you. It's a personal story for me. it was very hard to talk about it.
If you want to know all the sources Hannah used for her episode today, check out murderfriends.com. You can follow us on Twitter at murderfriendspd, on Instagram at murderfriendspod. And if you want to email us anything, any good stories, anything like that, any weird crime times, murderfriendspod@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.